Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Still a very good evening. You are still tuned in to Point of View with myself, Katlego Sehoto, standing in for Phemelo Modene. And we've been speaking throughout the hour about the Government of National Unity, the battle, the legal battles presented by the MK Party, what all of this politics means as we head to the first sitting of Parliament on Friday, and what we can expect the seventh administration to look like. And so we really tried to encapsulate the voices, the many different voices around the current politics. And one such voice that shouldn't be ignored, that really needs to be highlighted, is young people. And so we really wanted to get a sense of what young people think of the proposed Government of National Unity from the elections on the 29th of May, and even before then, just the current state of affairs in the country as it relates to issues that affect young people. We know the high youth unemployment rates. We know the struggles that young people face in just gaining access to sectors, to various sectors, and just being able to grow into productive and young people who serve the country and serve themselves as well. But I do have with me in studio Lwazin Tombela from the SA Youth Economic Council. He's the Vice President of the Council. Lwazi, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for joining us here in studio.
No, thank you very much. Greetings to you and greetings to all your viewers.
All right. So Lwazi, I mean, take us to, as a council, what your immediate feelings are around the conversation or the proposal of a Government of National Unity. Is this something you support?
No, look, first of all, we'd like to thank all the young people that came out in their numbers to vote in the general elections this year. We think it's a good sign that there were more young people registered as the IEC had reported, so we want to commend them for doing that. And we hope that going forward, more and more young people can get active into politics and to shaping their future, basically. On the question of the Government of National Unity, look, so the electorate has given all political parties that are represented in Parliament right now a mandate that basically they need to work together. And our view on that is that any Government of National Unity that is put together must be centered around pushing for South Africa's agenda and pushing for the young people's agenda and placing them at the center of all economic opportunities.
Yes. And I mean, Lwazi, you would know the youth unemployment rates and the ways in which the economy is not really absorbing young people at a rate which is healthy. And so many young people living at home with degrees, with qualifications, not being able to work. Is the formation of a Government of National Unity, should the center of it be about youth employment?
Yeah, that's one of the main things that we as a council believe should be one of the principles or one of the pillars that are holding the Government of National Unity together. So we believe that all parties that are believe in a developmental state and a state that intervenes in young people's issues, especially when it comes to the economy, should form a bloc where they could then go in there, vote together, and put up a government that will work together and work for young people. We also believe that the ANC has lost these elections because they've been complacent, and the electorate has told us that, and now we must pave a way forward. They need to combine with other parties that are looking to develop young people and looking to empower them economically, and instead of stripping them economically of what the little they have right now.
Yeah. And I want to take you back, Lwazi, to the day of elections. When we were seeing some of the scenes play out at the voting stations, some of the significant scenes were those that which we saw at universities. A lot of young students standing in queues to vote. We later learned, the number of the voter turnout being at just over 58%, that the long queues weren't necessarily an indication of more people coming to vote, but the problems that the IEC was facing with their voter management devices. But there was a sense of, especially if you were watching social media at the time, the celebration that so many students in particular came out to vote. Do you think there's a growing political understanding among students at our universities on what the political landscape looks like?
Yeah, no, look, I was one of those young people actually standing in those lines at Wits University, because that's where I'm registered to vote. It made me happy, but obviously frustrating at the same time, because you have to wait quite a while.
Yes.
But it was a good look to see so many young people coming out in their numbers to vote for whichever party they believe is going to advance the agenda of young people. And that's why we continue to say that whichever government of national unity is formed needs to have young people at the center of it. We can't allow for parties that are advocating, for example, with the students' issue, for the NSFAS to be turned into a loan, and then after turning it to a loan, you hand it over to the private sector, which is the banks, which will then charge high interest rates. And you know how banks discriminate against black students. And those are the vast majority of students who need financial assistance going into varsity, finishing their course, and all the support that comes with going to varsity. So our belief is that any party that says that they believe in free education, they believe in advancing education for young people and advancing young people economically, should form one block and then former government.
Now, Lwazi, when we were talking about the 2021 local government elections, there was all this talk around voter apathy and almost pointed towards young people not politically participating in the country's affairs. Do you think that term, voter apathy, as it relates to young people, is still a topic of discussion, or do you think minds are changing?
No, look, all aspects of South African society, economy, and institutions have or are hostile towards young people. So we were happy that they came out in their numbers this year. But in 2021 and throughout, wherever you look at it, in politics in general, you hardly see young people holding key positions or contesting even for key positions. And when they do, they are isolated and ostracized within their political parties. So With the 2021 thing, there was a voter apathy. There's still voter apathy in South Africa, and young people need to take charge of that, but also the system needs to change, and the IEC needs to make it easier for young people to come out and vote.
So, Lwazi, in terms of the conversation around the age of government officials or people who become members of parliament, officials who hold office, there's often criticism that they're much older, that we need an injection of much more young people holding positions of power because they will understand the plight of young people, but also how to solve problems in an innovative way. Just your sense around the discussions of the government of national unity, especially who the different role players are, but in relation to the possibility that it's young people might not feature as heavily in those, office, those seats in parliament.
Yeah, no, look, looking at the party list as they stand right now, with the 400 MPs that are going to be elected on Friday, I think, or sworn in on Friday, yeah, you hardly see any young people there. There's a sprinkle of young people there and there, but we need to do more. Young people need to start entering the political space now and contesting these positions and pushing out the old people, because we have a crisis in South Africa where we've allowed for career politicians. We have people who are politicians and that's their job. A politician is supposed to be someone who comes to serve and then leaves once they have fulfilled their mandate. And that's part of the problem, because we are unable to hold them to account. So that mandate that they came in is never actually fulfilled, then you see them coming back and again and again and again. So my view is that, and the view of the South African Youth Economic Council, is that young people should force their way into doors and push the doors and open the doors so that they can contest these political positions, but then also occupy them once they go into parliament. We need to see at least 50% young people from the ages of 18 to 35 in parliament represented throughout the landscape.
Yeah. I mean, do you think that older officials are making it simply impossible for young people to come in their numbers?
Yeah, no, look, any ruling class that we see will always be hostile to some a new entrant or a newcomer that wants to push them out. So also there is also a responsibility on young people to also contest these positions and to also drive these policies that will favor the youth, because in South Africa we know that we have a high youth unemployment rate, and the only way we can solve these problems is by finding innovative ways, because the old guard has clearly shown to fail to solve these problems over the last 20 to 30 years.
Lwazi, talking about young people making themselves known in the political landscape, within the different political organizations, so the ANC, the DA, the IFP, the EFF, the MK Party, all these various parties, when you look at the youth wing of the different parties, what's your sense around the trend? Is there a trend, first of all, in terms of how much voice is granted to young people in the different political parties at a national level? Or do you think there's still a lot more work to be done?
Definitely, there's still a lot more work to be done. It needs to be more welcoming. The space needs to be more welcoming, and within the political parties themselves, there needs to be more welcoming of young people and their voices and their opinions and their innovative ideas that you were talking about. So there is a problem within those political parties. I can't identify one political party that firmly stands with young people and says, this is our agenda and this is our main agenda.
And I asked this question at the back of when we saw now EFF leader Julius Malema in the ANC Youth League, very prominent voice that emerged from there, and now we see the success of the EFF as a breakaway essentially from the ANC. But since then, no real weight given to the youth wing. It's arguable, but no real weight given to the ANC youth wing now since his departure back then. So do you think there's almost like a pressure for young people to arrive in a charismatic nature, to be loud, boisterous, and to, you know, say really controversial statements for them to be heard? Otherwise, if you're sort of like the quiet intellect who knows their sentiments about certain things, you often get ignored.
No, look, I think people have different talents and they have different attributes to themselves. So I don't necessarily think that you need to be loud or very robust in order for people to listen to you and engage with you. If you have good ideas and you are able to articulate them properly and you are able to get them across so that people can understand and believe in them, then I don't think it will be an issue. So the ANC has over the years produced many, many credible young people who are able to challenge the status quo and who are able to agitate for change. For example, I saw recently the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy.
Yeah.
They've now opened a fund. This has been something that the youth has been fighting for. It's an exploration fund because young people obviously don't have the money to go and explore for themselves because it takes a lot of capital. And obviously the banks won't give you capital without collateral. So now the IDC, in partnership with the DMRE, has allowed for that fund to be established and is running right now. Applications are open for those type of things. So we do see change for young people, but we just need to see it in a quicker way.
And I must ask you, Lwazi, in terms of on the ground youth participation in their own business interests, in government projects, do you think it's been communicated well enough about what opportunities exist for young people, whether it be from government or private sector? Because in so many small pockets of communities, you see idle young people on street corners, not sure where they need to apply for certain things. Where is the gap?
Yeah, no. So there is a bit of a missing information or information crisis between the government and the private sector and the people on the ground. That's why we were saying as the South African Youth Economic Council that all the parties that believe in a developmental state and the developmental agenda need to flock together and come together. For example, the ANC, the EFF, elements of the MK party, they need to come together, put their differences aside, and look at their principles. The other parties, as much as they say that they're for young people, but we're in a crisis where we need state intervention in South Africa so that we can lift those young people out of poverty, and so that we hardly see any idling young people during the day at 11 a.m.
And I mean, it takes me to my next question regarding the implementation of the projects by Gauteng Premier Banyaza Lesufi in recent months as it relates to the wardens, the crime-fighting wardens, trying to really make an effort to employ people, young people particularly, to have jobs, but to also, you know, serve the communities. Do you think such projects are working?
Yeah, no, as much as those projects obviously won't finish youth unemployment, but I think they do have a good track record. They've done a lot. Apparently, they've hired over 500,000 or 500,000 young people within Gauteng over a space of 2 years or 24 months. And that's a huge, huge, huge accomplishment for the Gauteng government under Premier Banyaza Lesufi. So that's why we say that we need a developmental state that's looking at empowering young people instead of hiring private services, for example, the security guard.
Yeah.
They would have hired private security, and sometimes we have a crisis of private security, either being unregistered, being undocumented immigrants, or any case. But with the what's it called? Nasispani program.
Yes.
We have seen that South Africans are being employed, and it's mainly young South Africans that are being employed. So we need to commend the government where it does do well, and obviously we need to critique it where it doesn't do well. And in this case, we can only commend it.
Mm-hmm. Lwazi, in the subject of crime and how it affects young people's ability to use public transport, to get to school, corruption crime in terms of gaining access to NSFAS, how much do you think crime is affecting our young people's ability to access spaces and to do well?
Yeah, no, look, crime is a problem in South Africa, whether it's violent crime or financial crime, as you're stating, so that impedes young people gaining opportunities and accessing those opportunities, whether it's corruption, fraud, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But if you look at the stats, we have a crisis in South Africa of a finance minister in the Treasury or Department of Treasury that has placed austerity measures. Our budget is an austerity budget, and we need to relook at that. We need to relook at that. And the only way we can actually change South African lives and the lives of young people is if we invest in them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main focus we should be focused on, because corruption is a problem. But if you look at it and you look at it and it's analytically, it has not. If you remove all the corruption, it still won't change the unemployment patterns.
Mm-hmm. And it takes me back to Fees Must Fall back in 2015-16, and where you had a youth uprising, if you will, and young people speaking with unison over, you know, fees at varsity, at tertiary level. Do you think for things to change significantly, it needs to be young people in mass saying something in unison?
Yeah, no. Young people do need to come together, because we are too fragmented at this point in time. There's a lot of disinterest amongst young people because of the never-ending problems that we're experiencing. So we do need to unite. And the only way we can tackle these issues, societal issues and economic issues that we face as young people, is if we come together, unite, come up with a program of action that we are going to take on, and then we then pave a way forward for ourselves. Because if we continue to work as a fragmented group, not much can be done.
Lwazi, thank you so much. We will carry on this conversation just after this short break. We are speaking to Lwazi Ntombela, the Vice President of the SA Youth Economic Council. You can join us in this conversation. You can tweet us at Kaya On Air using the hashtag On The Streets. Phone us on 086-000-00959 or WhatsApp us on 063-688-0959. A reminder, it is Katleho Sohoto standing in for Phemelo Modene here on Point of View. We'll be back just after this. A very good evening once again. My name is Katlego Sehoto, standing in for Phemelo Modene here on Point of View. We have been speaking to the Vice President of the SA Youth Economic Council, that's Lwazi Ntombela, joining me now in studio. And we've been talking about the GNU formation, the politics that, you know, that has gripped the country now. And we know first sitting of Parliament on Friday. Lwazi, just from your perspective, what are you hoping to see following the talks and of the this proposed government of national of unity as a young person, but also the tug of war between the political parties?
As young people, we are hoping for a level of maturity amongst the political leaders. They've been working together for many years. They know each other. They know what each party stands for and what agenda they all seek. They know that we are facing a crisis in South Africa of youth unemployment, of high crime rates, of GBV, of etc. So we expect a high level of maturity. We want them to come together, and hopefully the right government can be formed on Friday, which will then advance the agenda of young people.
And speaking about young people and advancing their agenda, one of the criticisms or conversations that came out of the struggles that we saw during Election Day in relation to voter education and whether people understood the ways in which they could vote. So if you couldn't vote where you were registered, you had to go and apply at the IEC. If you were moving, you had to vote at the place you were registered to vote. In terms of voter education, do you think young people were educated enough about these elections?
I think the IEC, to a certain level, did drop the ball going into these elections. So many people were confused as to where they're going to vote, how they're supposed to vote. When they get to their usual voting stations, they're told to turn back. When they change their addresses, they're told to turn back to their original voting stations. So we do believe that the IEC needs to do more. There needs to be funding of the IEC, more funding of the IEC. And it comes back to the issue of austerity measures that have been pushed by the Department of National Treasury, which has limited resources to all these institutions and to Chapter 9 institutions, which are now making them more, which is making it more difficult for them to function and function properly.
All right, Lwazi, let's just take a listen to this voice note from a listener as we have this conversation.
Hayi mina angifuni ukukhuluma amanga ne ipolitiki yala eSouth Africa is not fair to the poor. How many people have lost their houses because of corrupt advocates who issue title deed to people with money and rob people their houses? Government wethu yoze azisukumele nini lezo zinto lezo, because abantu angeke baze bayimele lento leyo ukuthi kuthathwe izindlu zabo ekuama family house nama fraudulent papers, and then mawuhamba uyoreporta leyo case leyo, indaba yakho abayithatheli enhloko because wena awunamali. Bayayithatha indlu kagogo bayayidiliza bakha ama-double story wama-flat baqashisa ngawo. That thing must come to an end. That thing must end.
Yeah. So Lwazi, there, a listener highlighting the need for really poverty and inequality to be addressed and how it affects the day-to-day living of ordinary South Africans, especially the poorest. Just your sense on how inequality and a lack of access to certain everything affects young people's ability to soar.
Yeah, no, inequality and poverty has a huge, huge impact on young people. A simple thing of traveling to go to an interview after you've been shortlisted,
yeah,
after applying for a job, can be difficult for young people who come from poverty.
Yeah.
It can be difficult for you to even go to school if you are poor and you live far from school. So unemployment and poverty affects all aspects of your life. It becomes difficult for you to go buy groceries, for you to go anywhere or to do anything when you're unable, when you don't have the resources to do it.
And it makes me think of some of the young people who've come out on top. I mean, I just think from the top of my head, Tyler winning her Grammy last year. Young people doing particularly well abroad in the midst of the social and economic issues that we face here, where there's sort of these small gaps where some individuals make it through. Do you still think it's just not enough that there's some individuals who make it, but it's really not, the gates aren't open to everyone?
Yeah, no, look, we need to congratulate everyone, obviously, who makes it, but we shouldn't celebrate the exception to the norm. Many South Africans are faced with poverty every single day of their lives. They are faced with the economic question is always there. The class question is always there. Whenever they go out into society, they are always reminded that they are poor and they're unable to afford A, B, or C. So, as I was saying before again, the developmental state needs to then intervene in this. We can't have political parties forming government that, for example, don't believe in the basic income grant that will put money directly into the pockets of young people and people who are unemployed so that they are able to do the day-to-day things and they're able to then think about how they can then advance themselves in society.
And I guess, Lwazi, I want to go back to the NSFAS issue. You mentioned how you really don't want to see a government which sees, you know, NSFAS turning into a loan, which puts more pressure on young people who've just studied from a financial perspective. Just your sentiments around the ongoings at NSFAS.
Yeah, no, many parties that tend to speak center-right politics, for example, the Democratic Alliance has come out and said that they believe that NSFAS needs to be turned into a loan and then handed over or work together with the private sector. And the only people in the private sector that can provide you with loans are the banks, obviously, and all the financial institutions that are there, which historically and up to till today, their interest rates are always racialized. You as a black person, myself as a black person, if you compare yourself, the loan that you were to take or your credit card interest fees that you were to take and you compare to your white counterparts that are in the same economic position as you, you'd find that you're paying a higher interest rate than them. So parties like that do not form and do not form part of the spirit of South Africans, which call for Ubuntu and also which call for coming together and helping each other out. We need to stop looking at people as a commercial asset or commercializing education in itself. If we continue to look at education as a commodity, then we'll continue to have the same problems that we have today. If you look at the amount of chartered accountants that come out every year, compared to whites and other races, you'd see that it's not because black people can't get into higher learning institutions. It's because there are issues that are financial that are impeding them from them getting into those courses and getting their degrees and becoming whatever they want to be. You, for example, with the current NSFAS that we have, you're unable to get funded if you are doing your postgrad or your master's or so on and so forth. So we need to look at keeping NSFAS as it is, growing its budget, getting rid of the austerity measures that has been placed by Minister Kondongwane and his team there, and funding education so that we do away with this thing of an uneducated youth. We need a skilled youth so that when they do go into the job market and they're unable to find employment, they're then able to hold their government's accounts and say, you said we must go to school. We went to school and now we have a problem of unemployment, which we're facing till today. But encourage more young people to go to school, obviously, and to varsity, but also the government needs to fund that education. If you look at the amounts of unemployed people that are graduates, it's significantly lower than the ones who are not graduates. So that does show us that there is a correlation of getting a degree, a post-grad degree, and finding employment.
And I guess just the last one, Lwazi, as we head to the first sitting of Parliament come Friday, your message to politicians as a young person about what they should remember?
It's a simple message. This democracy, they fought for it for a long period of time. They need to come together now. They need to form a united bloc. All the parties that tend to lean on the left. You need to come together and form a government of national unity to advance the interests of South Africans. Otherwise, we are going to find ourselves in a worse situation in 5 years, where we see a higher unemployment, higher levels of poverty, and higher crime because of the latter two.
All right, Lwazi, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Lwazi Ntombela, the Vice President of the SA Youth Economic Council, just giving us a vast array of his sentiments as the Vice President of this council in relation to the current talks between politicians in the ANC's proposed government of national unity, the challenges which face young people. As we know, the youth unemployment rate being a staggering one, which indicates that there's so many obstacles which prevent young people from entering the market and becoming economic players. But just also outlining that there is hope, and that if politicians remember to really advance the needs of young people, that we'll have a much more, we'll see successes possibly following the, seventh administration's, come formation, and perhaps going forward, there will be better solutions to some of the long-standing problems in relation to young people. But yes, just a reminder, Katla Osohoto here standing in for Pamela Motena on Point of View. You can tweet us at Kaya on Air using the hashtag On The Streets, and you can phone us on 086-000-0959. After the break, we speak to the DA.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.